I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. May the Lord be with each one of you in a very special way. And we pray that at the conclusion of this worship service, yes, all of us may be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. And then let me remind all of us again that time passes so very, very quickly. We are almost coming, we have reached the middle point of the year, and soon the year will be over. And then also, of course, soon the Lord will be returning. We do not know when, but we know that His coming is near. The question is, are we ready to meet our blessed Savior when He returns? Now, of course, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will absolutely not be ready. So if you are not ready, why don't you come and make yourself ready and come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior? And in regards to those who have already known Him, let's prepare ourselves well so that when He comes again, we may all not be found wanting, but we may all be able to hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now today, my topic is, husbands, love your wives. Now last week I spoke on, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Today, I focus on, husbands, love your wives. Of course, this message is for everybody, for the wife to listen to, of course, and for the husband to listen to. And then young people who are getting married, all right, you better pay attention, okay? And those of us who are married, this message is also for us. Husbands, love your wives. Now, in the premarital counsel sessions that I conduct, couples that come before me, of course, would have to pay attention when we discuss their upcoming marriage based on the Word of God. Then when it comes to the part where the command is given, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, I almost always feel that there is some resistance posed by the wife. Yes, and particularly today, because the influence of the feminist movement is so keenly felt by women, women feel that they must be equal with men. And so it is not surprising that women simply can't accept the idea that they must submit themselves to their own husbands. But let's, before our going further, understand what is meant by equality with men as far as the feminist movement is concerned. Now it is this, that women can be as manly as men. That essentially is the message. Women can be as manly as men. What men can do, we can do. Now the truth is, the makeup of men and women are different. That's the truth. Women cannot be equal to men any more than men can be equal to women. Women are women, men are women, men are men. Women are not inferior to men any more than men are superior to women. But men and women are equal spiritually in the sight of the one true living God. So let's get this straight. All of us are equal spiritually in the sight of the one true living God. Whether you are a man or a woman, whether you are born or free, whether you are a Jew or a Greek. Now this is given in the Word of God and very, very clearly given in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Good for us to look at this verse. I'd like us to turn to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Galatians 3, 28. All right, very quickly. Galatians 3, 28. Members of the church, please help our friends to refer to Galatians 3:28. Let me read this verse for you. There is neither Jew nor Greek, so all are equal, Jew or Greek. There is neither born nor free, whether you are a slave, whether you are a free man, you are equal spiritually in the sight of God. And there is neither male nor female, whether you are man or woman, you are equal in the sight of God spiritually. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, this message is clear. You are all one in Christ Jesus. But let's understand also that women were created to complement men, to be their helpmate, to be their helpers, meet for them. And in the marriage relationship, which was instituted by God, women are to submit to men. Now, if the woman fails to do so, then the marriage relationship invariably will be heading for trouble. And as we said in our last message, for the success of the marriage and to get the best result out of the marriage relationship, God's instruction manual must be referred to, because it is in this manual that we find the right recipe for a successful, happy marriage. And part of the recipe is this: wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, the wives will say, but this is unfair. Yes, this is unfair. To submit is discrimination. It is an infringement on our rights, on women's rights. But wives, listen. Our wise God would never institute a marriage relationship that is unfair to the woman. He would never do that. He's the all-wise God. You see, in his instruction for a successful and good marriage, yes, he also gives instruction to the husband, not only to the wife. If God just gave instruction to the wife and said, wife, you submit, then perhaps that God would be unfair. But God has this instruction for the man. And what's the instruction given to man? It is given in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians 5, verse 25. All right, now let's read it together. All right, the man read. All right, man read. All right, ready, go. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So this message is clear. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. God ensures that there is perfect balance in the husband-wife relationship. He ensures the submission of the wife is complemented by the love of the husband, and he ensures that the love of the husband is complemented by the submission of the wife. Now, let's look at the characteristics of this love that the husband must have for the wife. Yes, so that we'll see that there is this perfect order that the wife should submit herself to her husband. All right, let's look at the characteristics of this love that God says the man must have for his wife. Now, the word love, I explained this many times before, but I'll say it again. Now, the word love in English is actually a very general term which could be used for any of three levels of love. Now, the first level of love that the English word love refers to is this word eros in Greek, which is actually erotic love. It is physical love. Now, it is the kind of love that is practiced by people who change partners as frequently as they change cars. All right, that's erotic love, that is physical love. Now, then there's the next level of love that love is referred to. By the way, the word eros is not found in the Word of God. You don't find that word. But the next level of love is found in the Word of God. It is this word called phileo. And phileo means brotherly love, or the love that a man has for another person, or another a man has for a brother or a friend. Right? This is our brother. This is called brotherly love or phileo. And this is the word from which the word philanthropy is derived. Now, then there is a third level of love which the English word love refers to. And this love is agape love. Agape love. In Greek it is agape. It is sacrificial love. And this is the very word that is made use of in this verse. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that love is sacrificial love. And that is the kind of love that a man must have for his wife. And when God says, husbands, love your wives, he's using this word. You love your wife sacrificially. The word used is agape. All right? Now, the wife, we say, well, we are to love our wives sacrificially. True, husbands, we are to love our wives sacrificially. And some of us might be very daring enough to say, if I have to give my life for my wife, I will do it. Now, the question is, really, will you and I do it if we are called upon to give our life for our wife? But as they say, little things add up to big things. Now, if a man professes to love his wife sacrificially, then he must demonstrate his love for his wife not just through big things, but through small things as well. Now, I think I could have said this before. Australia is a country that is very crazy about contests. And, some years ago, there was this contest on television to look for the laziest husband in Australia. Yes, the laziest husband. Well, so I don't know who won the contest, but the point really is this. How could a man or husband be said to be loving his wife or loving his wife sacrificially if he's so lazy that he can't even be bothered to lift his finger to do anything in the house to help the wife? Surely he can't be loving his wife sacrificially. Now the question for all husbands this morning is this. How do you show your love for your wife? How do I show my love for my wife? How do you show your love for your wife? Now, a romantic husband will say, well, I show my wife by what? Buying flowers for her. By remembering her birthday, by remembering our wedding anniversary, and I buy flowers for her. And then on those special occasions, I'll take my wife out for a very, very nice dinner at a very, very fancy restaurant. That's what I will do. Well, some loving husbands may do that. But what do you think of these same husbands, the very, very same people who say that they'll buy flowers for their wives, etc., who are very, very engrossed, let's say, in an exciting football game, last 5 minutes of the game, and this man loves the game very much because his favorite team is playing, and it's last 5 minutes, and the score is level at 1-1, and then rain falls. The wife rushes out to collect the clothes from the clothesline. But what does the husband do? Wife, you go collect the clothes. I continue to watch. Now, what can you say about the love of this husband for his wife? Yes, he says he loves his wife sacrificially. But what can you say about the action of this man? So, friends, which of the two actions shows sacrificial love for the wife? Helping the wife to collect the clothes when rain is imminent, or buying flowers for the wife on special occasions. Now, which action is more telling? All right, I think you know the answer, all right? I don't have to give you the answer. Yes? Now, friends, it is little actions, doing little things for the wife that add up to this big thing called sacrificial love. Sure, husbands are to love their wives sacrificially, but let's start with small sacrifices. Let's not talk about those big things, but begin with small sacrifices. Next, let's look at the next characteristic of this love that the man must have for his wife. We're talking about sacrificial love. God says, husband, love your wife sacrificially. And we are talking about this love. Now, this love is very, very special. It is unlike the love a person has for his mother or for his brothers or for his sisters or for his friends. Yes, it is something very, very special. Verse 33, all right? Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Paul is saying here, and especially you. Yeah, everyone in particular, and especially you, you are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and especially each one of you, are to love your wife as you love yourself. Now, what I'm going to say next may not be a problem here in Australia, but it can be a problem in some other countries. Maybe it can happen here also, I don't know. Yes, and it is that in the marriage relationship, the husband's filial love for the parents seems to be overriding. It is overriding, is more powerful, it even overrides the love that he has for his wife. Now, if that happens, that kind of situation can spell lots of trouble in a marriage relationship. Now, I knew of one case in Singapore in which the husband actually had great love for his mother. And that love for his mother seemed to be very overriding, even overrode his love for his wife. So when the first baby arrived, he wanted his mother to look after the baby because he loved his mother very much, and his mother wanted to look after the baby, and so he wanted the mother to look after the baby. But the wife actually wanted to look after the baby herself, and but his love for the mother was so strong, so baby was carried to mother's place for mother to look after. The wife was, of course, very, very unhappy. As a result of that, the relationship between husband and wife started to drift. Yes, and then the marriage looked as if it was going to crash. But thankfully, this man was a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he came to this truth that his love for his wife must be special, because God says your love for your wife must be special. It must be as strong as your love for yourself. And he came to this conclusion, the right conclusion. His love for his wife must be special, as powerful as his love for himself. And so he did the right thing. He changed his course. He brought the baby back to his wife to take care of, and the marriage relationship was restored. Yes. Now, let me ask you a question. It could be a very sensitive one, which I very often pose to the couple that comes to me for counseling. I ask, if there is a misunderstanding, all right, misunderstanding between your mother and your wife, whose side should you be on? You answer that question yourself. And I think you know the answer, right? The teaching of the word is very, very clear. Yes, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. So you should know the answer. Now then, this love that we are talking about, that the husband should have for his wife, must be single, exclusive, undivided. Husbands must love their wives as they love themselves. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And in this passage, Paul is actually, or was actually, quoting the word of God recorded in the book of Genesis. For this cause shall a man, verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. The two shall be one flesh. In other words, the two lives are to be interwoven into one single fabric. A piece of cloth, a fabric. The two must be interwoven into one single fabric. That is how single and how exclusive that love is. They have the same objective in their marriage relationship, and that is to glorify the name of the Lord. Yes, and to honor his name in whatever they do. And they identify themselves with their property as one, not as two parties, as one party. I really don't see how a man can say that he loves his wife sacrificially when he tells his wife, "Wife, you and I, let's keep separate accounts." All right, separate bank accounts for all the possessions that we have. Separate accounts. Can a man really say that he loves his wife when he's not prepared to have joint accounts with his wife? Can he say that he loves his wife sacrificially? You think about it. Now, today, people in modern societies, when they get married, do not think of themselves as being one flesh. For many, marriage is only an experiment. Isn't it true? Marriage is only an experiment. It might work, or it might not work. You see, there's no sort of wanting to cause it to work. But when they go into a marriage, they say, all right, it's a risk. It might work or it might not work. So when they get into the marriage relationship, they make sure that they make provisions for the marriage to break up. Before they start, they already make provisions. Each partner is very, very protective and possessive of his, of her, or her share of the property, so that in the event of a divorce, each of the parties will not feel that he or she has been shortchanged. Yes, they made that kind of provision at the start. Now, with that arrangement, they enter into the marriage contract. My dear friends, marriage is not just a contract. It is not just two persons signing their names on a paper. No, as we said, the two lives are interwoven into one single fabric. Two lives become one flesh. They are so till death parts them. No provision must be made for divorce. And if they are one flesh and interwoven into one fabric, it surely must mean that the husband must be absolutely faithful to the wife. Isn't it true? Interwoven into one fabric, husband must be absolutely faithful to the wife. He must demonstrate his faithfulness to the extent that he doesn't cause his wife to be suspicious of his faithfulness. The word of God tells us this very, very clearly concerning faithfulness of husband to the wife in Proverbs 5:18-19. All right, read these two beautiful verses. All right, Proverbs 5:18-19. These two verses say, "Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." See, be faithful to her. When she gets old, don't say she's old, but still rejoice with the wife of thy youth. "Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, young or old, and be thou ravished always with her love." Now, I heard about this joke concerning Adam. It's a joke, by the way, all right? Remember, it's the joke about Adam after the fall. Adam would spend lots of time away from Eve, and that got Eve very, very suspicious of Adam's faithfulness. But Adam assured the wife and said, "Eve, you know, you are the only woman on planet Earth, the only woman." Yeah, but Eve was not happy with that, satisfied with that assurance. And so every night when Adam came home and when he was fast asleep, Eve would make sure that she would count the number of ribs that were left on Adam. Yes, for fear that God had taken out another rib. Yes. Husbands must love their wives faithfully and must not engage in any kind of relationship that will cause the wives to have to count their ribs. And over again, when a marriage relationship sours, I hear that the wife will have to do many things, such as checking the husband's plane tickets, air tickets, checking the husband's hotel bills, the shopping invoices, to see whether or not he is involved with another woman. Yes, when the marriage goes sour, this is what usually happens. The wife usually has to do that. Now, when the marriage vow is made before God, let's understand, it is the two shall be one flesh. Two shall be one flesh. The husband must love the wife as he loves himself. He must love his wife as his own body. No rib counting by the wife is needed. Now, this love that the husband must have for his wife must be demonstrated by considerateness and tenderness towards her. Yes, considerateness and tenderness towards her. Colossians 3:19. "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." You know what it means? It means this: husband, don't be harsh with your wife. That's what it means. Husbands, don't be harsh with your wives. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. In other words, be considerate to them. They are the weaker vessels. Husbands often forget that the wife is the weaker vessel. So they leave all the domestic duties and the domestic chores to the wife, for the wife to handle. That's not right. If you ask me, I say that's not right, particularly today, where in many situations today, the wife also has to be the co-breadwinner. Yes, if she's the co-breadwinner, how can you expect her to do all the housework and you don't care to leave a finger to do anything? Yes, husbands should treat their wives with tenderness and with considerations. Now, husbands are not to be harsh with their wives. Why? Because their wives are different. They are different. They are made differently. When Adam was created, he was created out of the lump of the earth, But when Eve was created, she was created differently. She was created from a rib that was taken out of Adam. So she was different. Yes. Women are women and men are men. Yes, they are different. A minister tells of his experience 10 years into his marriage. I'm talking about a minister, a preacher of the gospel. And this was his experience 10 years into his marriage. He was often very irritated by the wife because the wife held views that were not exactly like those of his. She wasn't argumentative, only expressive of her honest feelings. The minister, of course, couldn't stand the honest expressions made by the wife, and he took those expressions to mean that the wife was not submissive to him, you see. And so what happened was, time and again, when they disagreed, they were lock horns. And it was that way in their marriage for 10 years. Yes, and that, of course, didn't speak well for the minister, because he was the minister of the gospel, and he and his wife were quarreling all the time. Until the husband discovered this truth. The truth given in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. I think it's good for us to look at this passage. All right. He read this passage again. All right. And this time he saw the light. Genesis 2, 18 to 23. Genesis 2, 18 to 23. Verse 18. And the Lord said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." So God created the woman different. She was a help. She was meant to be a helper meet for Adam. She was not meant to be an echo for him. No. But rather, she was to be his counterpart. There's a big difference between an echo and a counterpart. And Eve was to be Adam's counterpart, a very, very necessary and needful individual to help him to become the man that God wanted him to be. That was the purpose of God's creating Eve for Adam. Now, this minister, having understood what is taught in this passage, having understood the difference that the wife was not meant to be his echo, but meant to be his counterpart, yes, he accepted the wife's behavior, and the marriage relationship was very happily restored. Husbands, have you ever boastfully told your wife, "How come you are not like me?" How many of you have said that to your wife? I've said that to my wife. "How come you are not like me?" My wife always tells me, "You cannot say that to me, because I'm not you." And she's right, okay? But I'm absolutely, absolutely sure that if your wife is exactly like you, you are going to be in trouble. True? I say absolutely true. I tell you, you will end up complaining to the Lord. You will tell the Lord, "Lord, how come how come my wife is created like me? How come you created my wife like me? Why did you do that? Why did you do like what you did originally, by taking one of my ribs and then create my wife from out of one of my ribs, like you did originally?" And that's what you are going to say. Yes, if your wife is created exactly like you. Love your wife, all right? Recognize that she is different. She cannot be like you. Yes, thank God for the difference. She is not your echo, but she is your counterpart. She is created to complement you in as much as you are created to complement her. Now, this love is also shown, this love that we are talking about, agape love, is shown by the husband's desire for the wife's spiritual well-being. In other words, he wants the wife to grow spiritually. He wants the wife to love the Lord. See what the Lord's desire is for his church. Verses 26 and 27, Ephesians 25. Ephesians 25, 26 and 27. Okay, 25 to 27. Husbands, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Likewise, the husband should demonstrate his love for his wife, just as the Lord cleanse the church, sanctify the church, to build the church up, the husband is to do likewise. He should be very, very concerned about the spiritual growth of his wife. If he truly loves his wife, that must be his chief concern. Yes, he should take the spiritual leadership in the home. The church is cleansed by the washing of water by the word of God. Yes, so the husband must assume the responsibility of taking the leadership to read God's word. Yes, and it is by the reading of God's word, applying God's word to their lives, that both husband and wife are going to be pure, cleansed in the sight of the one true living God. The husband should assume the responsibility to set up family worship in the home. Have you done that, husbands? Yes, men, have you assumed the responsibility to set up family worship in the home? That's your responsibility. You are the pastor in the home. You should see yourself as the head of the woman spiritually, head of the home spiritually. So sure, buying flowers and gifts for the wife is a gesture of love for the wife. But to build up the wife and the faith is surely far, far more important. It has eternal value, building up your wife in the faith. And that is the greatest demonstration of love that you can show to your wife. Build her up spiritually. Now, this love that the husband is to have for his wife must be shown also by good communication between husband and wife. Now, wives who are unhappy with their marriage often make this complaint: my husband doesn't talk to me anymore. Isn't it true? Wives, when they are unhappy, they say, my husband doesn't talk to me anymore. Now, when the wife say this, they also mean, my husband doesn't listen when I talk to him. So, what it means is this: my husband doesn't listen, my husband doesn't talk. Yes, in other words, the husband doesn't communicate. Now, I suppose communication is a two-way traffic. Between husbands and wives, often the husband has a lot to hear from the wife. Isn't it true? The husband has a lot to hear from the wife, or rather, a lot to listen from the wife. But you know what's the real problem? The real problem is that they listen, but they listen with unhearing ears. True or false? True. Yes, my wife talks, I listen, but she says, you don't seem to be hearing. And that's true. Very often, we don't hear. And then wives very, very often have little or nothing to hear from their husbands. Husbands don't say anything. That seems to be quite the usual behavior between in regards to behavior of the husband. So friends, are we that husband that does not hear when the wife speaks, or does not speak when the wife wants us to hear? Are we that husband? There was this husband who was bad at communicating with his wife. And things got worse when this wife developed this hard of hearing. All right, she became hard of hearing. And then they were married for a long, long time, for about 50 years. Then at the end of the 50 years, a golden anniversary celebration was thrown for this couple. Yes, by the neighbors, by the friends, and by the relatives. The husband was, of course, very, very moved by the kindness of these people, and he decided to make a toast for his wife. And so he turned to the wife. Remember, the wife was hard of hearing. He turned to the wife and said to the wife, my dear wife, after 50 years, I found you tried and true. Everyone was very pleased with what he said. Yeah, very good. Good speech. Yes, your wife is indeed tried and true. Then the wife said, hey, what did you say? Can you say that again? Speak louder. And so the husband repeated, he shouted this time, my dear wife, after 50 years, I found you tried and true. The wife became very fuming mad because she misheard what he said. And she shot back. She said, well, let me tell you something. The feeling is mutual. After 50 years, I'm tired of you too. Yeah. We say that it was only a case of the hard of hearing that was the problem that caused this misunderstanding. But the truth is, the husband had not been communicating with the wife for all those years. And so, whenever she tried to talk to the wife, the wife would always misunderstand what he said. So it was no small wonder at all that that day when he sang praises of the wife misunderstood him completely. Yes, and added to that problem was, of course, her being hard of hearing. So husbands, if we love our wives, let us try our very, very best to communicate with them. So what are the characteristics of this love husbands are to have for their wives? First, it is sacrificial love. And this love is special, unlike the love a person has for his mother, or for his children, or for his friends. This love is undivided. The husband and wife have become one flesh, and the husband is to love the wife as he loves himself. And this love is demonstrated by tenderness and by considerateness. It is demonstrated by the husband's desire for the wife's spiritual well-being. And it is also demonstrated by good communication. Now, the next question is, why should husbands love their wives? All right, very, very quickly, I'm going to give you three reasons as to why husbands must love their wives. Okay, now the first reason is this. It is the original law of the marriage institution, the original law. God makes marriage to operate with this law. Husbands, love your wife, in as much as your wives must submit themselves to you. Any husband going against this law will surely cause his marriage to get into trouble. As we said already, for the marriage to operate very successfully and to get the best results out of the marriage, the instruction manual must be followed. And the instruction is for husbands is very, very clear. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You disobey that law, you are going to cause your marriage to get into trouble. Now, the second reason is that the marriage union is to be like the blessed union between Christ and his church. As Christ loved his church sacrificially and gave his life for the church, so must the husband love his wife. Yes, the marriage relationship is patterned after the relationship between Christ and his church. Now, that's the second reason as to why the husband must love his wife. Yes, because the marriage relationship is patterned after the relationship between Christ and his church. Now, the third reason is that the wife is the husband's other self. Yes, remember we said not an echo, but the husband's other self. Now, I don't know whether this is true or not so true, these statements. Some people say that a loving couple after many years of marriage, a loving couple after many years of marriage will look more and more like one another. True or false? Maybe not so true, all right? But another saying goes something like this. After many years of marriage, a loving couple will talk like one another. Maybe this one could be quite true, all right? They talk like one another. But the truth, the Word of God teaches is that the husband is the wife is the husband's other self. She is not only one flesh with himself, but she is actually the husband's other self. She is actually his very body. Did you realize that? This seems to be the teaching given to us in verses 28 and 29. Look at these two verses, 28 and 29. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. Now, no one hates his own body, except religious fanatics who would pierce and cut their bodies. No, surely we would not want to hurt ourselves. We would not want to hurt our bodies. Yes, we would even try our very best to avoid being pricked by a pin. or if there's a grain of sand in our shoe, we'll try our very best to get rid of that grain to prevent the sole of our foot from being hurt. Yes, we do not want to hurt our bodies. Likewise, we should not be hurting our wives, because our wives are our bodies. The wife is the body of the man. Yes, this seems to be the teaching here. So we are to love our wives because we are not to hurt our bodies, namely our wife. So what are the characteristics of this love husbands are to have for their wives? Number one, as we said already, it is sacrificial love. The love is special, unlike the love a person has for his brothers, his sisters, his mother, his children. This love is undivided. The husband and wife become one flesh, and the husband is to love the wife as he loves himself. And this love is demonstrated by tenderness, considerateness. It is demonstrated by the husband's desire for the wife's spiritual well-being, and it is demonstrated by his good communication with his wife. And why must husband love their wife? Number one, it is the original law of the marriage union. You break this law, yes, you damage the union. Husbands must love their wives because God has designed the relationship between the husband and wife to pattern after the relationship between Christ and his church, that blessed union. So because of that, husband must love their wives. And the third reason as to why husband must love their wives is that the wife is the husband's other self. Yes, she is his counterpart. She is his body. So you want to have a happy marriage? The recipe is given very, very clearly. Only two simple laws to follow. Number one, wives, you know the answer, right? Let's say, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. Number two, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this instruction given from your word. Lord, we know that sometimes the husband and wife relationship can be a very, very complex thing. But Lord, we pray that we may all know your word and follow these two very simple laws given to us very, very clearly. And we know that if we abide by them, we will surely have the kind of marriage you want us to have. Lord, help us to glorify you in our homes. We pray that we may always search your word, know your word, and obey it by your grace, so that we may be able to do your will, so that we may be the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.